Hey, what up? My name is Max Blummer. Welcome to Walker Harbor Church. A couple things as we get started. If you are new around here, you wouldn't know this, but this is my first time getting to teach here at Walker Harbor. I'm super excited for what God has put on my heart, and I'm excited to share that with you. The second thing you need to know is that I am not very good at yoga. Like, not good at all. So I want to get that out there, and we can talk more about that later. But I want to welcome you. It is December 31st. It is New Year's Eve, and we're going to talk about a new year, a new you. So if you're taking notes, we'll call this morning a new year, a new you. And you've probably heard that before, less than 24 hours until 2018, and we begin thinking about New Year's resolutions. And if I'm being honest this morning, I am very unqualified. If you're like me, I have not had a successful New Year's resolution. I'm very good at starting them, but I am not very good at seeing them through. But I hope by the end of today, I can share with you why I am qualified and how you can be qualified as well. So if you want to take out your Bibles, we're going to be in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 is where we will be for most of today. And while you're finding that, I want to tell you a story. Just this past month, my family got to go on a trip. We went to Marco Island, Florida. We had never been there before. So it was my wife, my daughter, my mom, my dad, my sister, and my brother-in-law. And we all took a trip to Marco Island. And so in honor of just terrible weather this past week, I would love it if we could close our eyes. We've got kids, we've got adults here with us this morning. If we could all close our eyes, I want to take you there and we can escape this weather for a few minutes. Marco Island is on the west coast of Florida. We're walking on a boardwalk towards the Gulf. And your bare feet hit this fine, beautiful white sand. You can feel it between your toes. The wind, just a gentle breeze coming, and you can feel it in your hair. You can smell the salt from the Gulf. The sun is beginning to set, dipping into the water. Look up, and there's a yoga instructor. She's down the beach. She's waving you towards her. So you walk towards her. There are candles beginning to illuminate as the sun is setting, and you lay your towel out, and you begin. You begin doing the yoga. So if you're like me, you're picturing some very uncoordinated things. And as we're there, the yoga instructor pulls out a book and she says this: accept things the way that they are. Accept things the way that they are. All right, you can open your eyes. I had my eyes closed, so I don't know what you were doing. Maybe you were looking. But I imagine as we escaped reality for a few minutes, you began to smile as you pictured this beautiful place. Some would call it paradise. Maybe others of you smiled as you pictured you or maybe someone that you were with trying to do yoga. That was definitely me. And maybe you smiled more when you heard the phrase, accept things the way that they are. And while you're in paradise, I think that's a very easy thing to do. Accept things the way that they are. But as I left Florida, as I came home and I was thinking about 2018, I was thinking about resolutions, I didn't like that anymore. I didn't like that phrase, accept things the way that they are. It began to clash. I looked in the mirror and it was very obvious that I hadn't exercised as well as I was previously, or I visited Taco Bell a couple too many times that week. Or I think about how I had a bad day at work, and my family, my wife, and my daughter seem to get the bad attitude and the emotions that came with me having a bad day. And I don't want to accept that. I don't want to accept that that is who I am. So if you're with me, you feel this tension, you feel this clash with accepting things the way that they are, and a new year and a new you. If you can't relate, this next little while is probably going to suck for you, but I believe that you can relate. I believe that we all desire to be the best us that we can be. Best you and the best me. And for both of us, while it might look different, the best us, they have something in common, and that would be that the best us tries to mirror the life of Jesus. The best us tries to live a life that loves God, that loves others, and looks like the life that we see in the scriptures when we look at the life of Jesus. And if we want this, if we want to be the best us that we can be, and we have this new year and this new you opportunity, unfortunately, advertisers know it as well. It's true. I'll give you three examples. I went to Target last week. And Target is having a sale right now on storage solutions. They see the new year, a chance for a new you. And maybe the new you is a more organized you. You have a cluttered, messy life. And so a first step would be organizing your home by cleaning up your home, by putting away the Christmas decorations the right way. And so Target wants to offer you storage solutions on sale. I live in Holland, and as I was driving through downtown Holland, I saw a billboard that advertised MVP Sports Club. And they want to offer the month of January for free. You can join their gym. Why? Well, because if you're like me, you've fallen into this trap, and you'll sign up. You will go maybe twice, and June, July will roll around, and you'll look at your bank statements. You'll look at an app, and you'll see, wow, I'm still getting charged for this, and I've gone twice. But they know it's a new year, a chance for a new you, and the new me might be a healthier me, one that exercises. Or I saw an advertisement. This was last year, but I found it online. Valvoline wants to wish me a happy new year. Now, I hate to break it to you, but Valvoline doesn't actually care if I have a happy new year. What they're hoping for is that this new year, this new me opportunity, will be a me that's better with his time, his money maybe. Maybe I'm going to be a handyman, and I'm going to change the oil in my car by myself. And so Valvoline's like, hey, let's wish them a happy new year, and maybe when the time comes, they'll remember us and go buy Valvoline oil. Well played. But I'm wondering, what is it for you this new year? Maybe it's something that I'm working towards, healthier, not letting my emotions get the best of me. Maybe it's one of these examples that we found in advertisements. Maybe you're going to be better with work. You're not going to let it control you, consume you. You're going to know when to put the laptop down. Maybe it's technology. Maybe it's in our relationship. But we have in front of us a new year and a new opportunity to be the best us that we can be. I should quick note that this doesn't have to take place at the beginning of a new year. We can have resolutions throughout the year. And in fact, society gives us moments. So there's a university that did a study on their gym. And this gym saw an increase in students' attendance at the beginning of the week by 33%, the beginning of the month by 14%, and the beginning of each semester by 47%. Wow. So there are these opportunities, these moments that exist in society that we have in front of us for a new year and a new you moment. If you are a Lions fan, this is a rough subject right now, because you missed the playoffs. But if we rewind, if we look back at August and September, we hear the same things over and over. This is our year. We have not lost a game yet. Sure, we haven't won a game, but we haven't lost yet. And so this is our chance. This is our year. We see these moments and these opportunities for new years, new yous, and these resolutions. They can be tricky because on one hand, we have accepting things the way they are, the easy route. And then we have the clash with a new year and a new you opportunity. My question is, how do we actually succeed in these moments? Well, let's look at Joshua chapter 24, because Joshua is going to give the people of Israel this opportunity for a new year, a new you. And let's see what we can learn from their situation and see if we can apply it into our lives this new year. So Joshua 24, verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. So Joshua, in chapter 23, if we look back, we learn he's old. He doesn't have much time left to lead the people of Israel. And so he really has one last message, teaching, sermon, word from God that he wants to give. So he gathers the tribe leaders. Israel is huge, massive, but there are these 12 tribes and these leaders that oversee them. And he gathers the leaders together, and he's prepared to give them this final word. Let's keep reading verse 2. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there. And I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time." So Joshua has just given them a brief history lesson to kick off his message. He has gone back to Abraham, the founding father of the Israelites, and he's worked them through this history to being enslaved in Egypt. And they get out of that and move into the wilderness where they wander. And I wonder for us this new year, if we think about us in this story, are we in the wilderness? Do we find ourselves wandering with these resolutions? Have we asked for help? We read it when they're in slavery, when they're in Egypt, they cry out for help. Have we asked for help, no matter how small or big our resolution might be, that we look at it and we find ourselves wanting a new year, new you, but we often just accept things the way they are? Let's keep reading. Verse 8. "I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. I had a lot of enemies. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. Then you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Joshua finishes the history lesson by bringing them to present day. And he makes it clear God helped you while you were in slavery. God helped you get out of the wilderness. And ultimately God helped you get to the land that he promised to you and the Israelites before you. Joshua could not be more clear. You did not do it on your own. It was the Lord who fought for you, who helped you. And I think about the song that we learned this morning, Reckless Love. And there's a verse in it. We read this line only once, but I want to read it to you again. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. We think about the journey that the Israelites had to take. Pretty safe to assume in all the years of slavery and wandering in the wilderness and being scared of the enemies that were ahead of them in the promised land, that there were times when they did not see God as on their side, that they saw God as an enemy. But God is clear. He is for them. He loves them. He loves us. We read this passage in Luke 15 when we learned this song that Jesus goes after the one. He leaves the 99 behind, the already saved, to go after the lost. It's amazing. So let's keep reading because Joshua is now going to ask them. He's set them up now for this new year, new you moment, and he wants to give it to them. Verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods and the Amorites in whose land you are living. Let me just read that line again at the beginning of 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you. It's amazing. Joshua has just walked them through a history lesson and showed them all the ways in which God was for them, helped them, got them to where he promised them they would be. But they still have a choice. They still have a choice in this new year, new you moment. Are you going to accept things the way they are and worship other gods? Or are you going to serve this God that I've showed you throughout your history has been there for you? There's an author, Donald Miller, and he wrote a book recently. And in this book, he talks about being the best us that we can be. And he asks these two questions. Who do you want to become? What kind of person? So the Israelites are asking these questions. We have to ask this when we are presented with a new year, new you moment. Who do you want to become? What kind of person? And we can do a quick case study on other people who face these questions. So if you are like me, I'm just coming out of Christmas where my daughter got bombarded with all things Moana. And so we moved from watching Moana once or twice a day to now maybe once or twice a week, which is refreshing. But I mean, it's a good movie. It's a good movie. And in Moana, there's a character, Maui, who used to be everybody's favorite hero. But he makes a mistake and he finds himself stranded on an island. And he asks himself this question, who do you want to become? And he meets the main character, Moana, who's on a mission. And he decides that he wants to become everybody's favorite hero again. And to do so, he decides he needs to team up and help Moana on her mission. But he has a choice. He's presented with this New Year, New You moment, and he has a choice. Another person would be 11. So if you binge watch Netflix, like my wife and I, Stranger Things 2 came out on Halloween, and we binge watched that pretty quickly. But 11 is one of the main characters, and she asks the second question, what kind of person? And for her, she doesn't remember who she was, and so she needs to go on a journey because she wants to know who she was, and she's thinking, maybe that's the kind of person I want to be. And so she goes on this journey, and she discovers along the way that the kind of person that she wants to be is one that is there for her friends. But she has a choice. She has a choice in this New Year, New You moment. Let's keep reading. Verse 15 again. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. How many of you have seen that sign in someone's house? Maybe your own house. You go to Hobby Lobby right now and you can buy this sign. We will serve the Lord. Me and my household will serve the Lord. And it's a great sign. And in 2017, that means, hey, look, we have Christians living in this home. And that's cool. But when we read this whole chapter like we've been doing this morning, this verse feels so much heavier. There's so much more weight to this proclamation that Joshua is giving to these people. Joshua is coming from this line, these Israelites. And so he knows this story of where they've been, slavery for 430 years, to wandering in the wilderness, to finally getting to the promised land. And Joshua sees the faithfulness of God through it all. And in his New Year, New You moment, he has a choice, and he says, my house will serve the Lord. So let's see what their response is, because Joshua has painted this picture. He's given them this opportunity to respond. Will they accept things the way they are, or will they take this New Year, New You moment to be the best them that they can be, one that serves the Lord who has seen them through time and time again? Verse 16, then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. They did it. They have chose the God who moved them from slavery to freedom. We have this opportunity this new year. We experience our own kinds of slavery. Maybe it's to this, to a phone, to technology. Maybe your resolution is work. Maybe you're a slave to it or to a bad relationship. Whatever it is for you, know this. You have a choice. You can sit there and accept things the way they are, or you can take this moment for a new year, a new you. To be the you were created to be. I want to read one more story. This one's coming from Luke chapter 2. That's a great story. I think it's hilarious. And so we've just read Luke chapter 2 in our Christmas series, Excavating Christmas. And if you had asked me, I probably would guess that Luke chapter 2 is just the Christmas story. But that's only about half of the chapter. So we're going to look at Luke 2, verse 41. This is Jesus now at 12 years old, and him and Mary and Joseph take a trip. And so if you were a parent, you may enjoy this story. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Uh-oh. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." this is a big deal. So a couple things we should know. It's not uncommon when these people are traveling, they're going to be in herds to these festivals. And so Jesus, when he's not walking with Mary and Joseph, means he's probably hanging out with some relatives, his cousins, some friends. They're all traveling together. So the fact that they don't find Jesus right away, or they don't necessarily know where he is right away, isn't that big of a deal. But once they go a day and they're not finding him, that's some reason to panic. Because, by the way, your son is the Son of God, and you've lost him. makes me feel better. I go to Target, and my daughter Eliza, she's almost 2, but she'll run around the corner. She'll go down another aisle, and I'm there in 10 seconds. I got my eyes back on her again because I watch the news. I see online what happens, and I want to protect her. But can you imagine Mary and Joseph 3 days and the conversations that must be going on between them? Man, that's tough. But there's some good news. They have a choice. They don't have to let that year define them, because they're going to go on these festival trips again. And you better believe the next year they're not going to lose Jesus. Because they have a choice, and they don't have to let that them define them. That doesn't have to be who Mary and Joseph are. The past does not define you. If you grew up in the church, you won't be surprised when we land at this last verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In fact, someone told me that this is the verse of the day on your YouVersion Bible app. So YouVersion and I, we're on the same page here. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That is the ultimate new year, new you moment. When you follow Christ, when you say, I want to live a life that mirrors Jesus. I want to serve the Lord. I want Jesus to be the King of my heart, the Lord of my life. You are made new. The old does not define you. When I said that I was unqualified, I meant it. I'm terrible at resolutions. But Jesus has made me new, and that is what qualifies me. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And that doesn't mean that these are going to be easy, because it's a whole lot easier to just accept things the way that they are. And for some things, that's okay. My heater broke this week, my furnace, and I had to replace the motor. It's okay for me to accept that. But when I have a bad day, my family shouldn't get They shouldn't get that version of me. We have a choice. What if we're in this together? What if us as a church is in this together? Because if we look back at both of those stories, they had a choice, but they also had each other. All of these tribe leaders are listening together, and they choose together. Mary has Joseph, and Joseph has Mary. Collectively, we don't have to let the past define us. We have a choice, and we can choose a life that looks like Jesus. How powerful that would be for our community if we were in this together. You see my shirt, the shirts of our staff and spouses says, "Love, Walker." What if this new year we choose a life that is there for the community, loving them in Jesus' name? And we're going to talk about that as we enter 2018 with our series, Created for Community. So what? So what? If you missed everything that I said this morning, what should you take away? Know this. You have a choice this new year. And if you trip and stumble and 2 weeks into January, you're mad because you failed your resolution, please don't wait until 2019. That's so far off. The past does not define you. So as a community, let's enter the new year together to be the best us that we can be for the sake of our community. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word. God, it's so much easier for us to just accept things the way that they are. Help us this new year to be the us that we were created to be. To live a life that is pleasing to you. That we would love you, that we would love others. Help us as a family to make an impact in this community that the city of Walker would know that Walker Harbor is for them, that God is for them, that they are loved. We pray this in your name. Amen.